Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to Get the Table, another wrestling roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, and one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to discuss another burning wrestling issue. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a blatant quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett. And sir, we are gathered here to... We are socially distanced here today to talk about what is next for Finn Balor. Of course, earlier on this week, Finn Balor failing in his attempt to regain the NXT Championship from Karrion Kross. The more I read about this online, Hamflett, I should say we're recording this on Thursday, but the more I read about this online, it's becoming more and more divisive. I thought everyone was kind of in agreement with us that it was a fine match, nothing spectacular, and, you know, not really a development from what we saw from them the first time around. But I mean, some people have tweeted us asking if it's a contender for match of the year. Some people have gone the opposite way. What do you reckon, having had a few days to digest it?
Oh, crap, I still don't know. I don't want to, like, just parrot everything I said on our NXT review, which you can find on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get them. But I don't know what people are looking at if they adore this match. I feel like this is becoming one of them things. I never, ever want to be, despite my advancing years, the old man that yells at clouds. I never want to just be like, oh, no, it's the children that are wrong. Mm. And I see a lot of people, as you say, kind of giving this praise. As I look out onto, like, the Twitter sphere or on Reddit or wherever, in the absence of fans to really give us the noise or the reaction or the reception, I just don't get it. I cannot fathom what people saw in it. But then, you know, you've been kind enough to tee it up as divisive. And I'm coming in and straight away saying, no, it wasn't divisive, but it was absolutely... Right, like I'm the polar opposite to those other people that were just emailing you saying it's odd match of the year. Like, what do you think? You know, takeover worthy, all that sort of stuff. So I'm just on the opposite side of the divide to that. I don't get it. I don't get the style. I don't get this NXT principle of following that style for their main events. It's not just been Karrion Kross. I'm glad we're talking about Finn Balor in this podcast, because I did. Finn Balor had his moments, had his lightning bolt moments in that match, but when we reviewed that main event, it was Kross that took the most pelters from myself and Sidgwick as critics of the match. Mm. This is a better place to say all this, but I think that Balor has been doing this as well for the last few main events, for the last few title matches. I think this has been a hallmark of Finn Balor's style as well. And it's something that probably since TakeOver 31 against Kyle O'Reilly, I've really, really struggled to get invested in. So I think this is maybe a Finn Balor issue too, but I understand where people could get something from his performance in that match, because he was probably the more dynamic of the two wrestlers, shall we say.
Mm. Fairly definitive result, though, I think it's fair to say now. He lost the title to Karrion Kross, as we anticipated he wouldn't. Didn't regain it back, as we anticipated that he wouldn't win that match either. So the speculation is, of course, what's next for him. He's been talking, and we'll get into this later on, about potentially returning to the perceived main roster of Raw and SmackDown. But for argument's sake, if he stays in NXT, well, do you think he'll stay in NXT first of all? But if he does, and if he does stay, what else can you see him doing? Because you're presumably counting him out of the title picture, unless you're arguing for another match further down the line as the Demon.
Well, to answer the first part of your question, I hope he doesn't stay in NXT, because I don't want to think about the second part of your question, which is, well, how do you factor him back into the title picture? We've got that exact problem right now with Johnny Gargano. We're probably going to have it again soon enough with Adam Cole. We might yet have it once again with Tommaso Ciampa. I don't really want to think about these people challenging again for the NXT title when they've kind of been involved in every version of fighting for that belt. They've been challengers, they've been champions, they've been challengers again. And it feels as like that story feels as dead weight as, like, you know, being asked to take Dolph Ziggler seriously as a headliner again. I'm picking on Dolph Ziggler because he's got such like a long tenured past with WWE. Ultimately, like, you have to accept that character at a certain level at this point. And in the main event, it's not. And I really hope Finn Balor goes back to Raw SmackDown, because I think he needs to be the change. He represented a sea change when he went back to NXT in the first place. That was kind of electrifying. That a guy that you had felt was really, like, things were good at points, but broadly speaking, misused by the main roster. That was electrifying to think that he could return to NXT and be used in a way that was far more satisfying. And I think on balance, I might not have liked his matches, but people have mostly enjoyed Finn Balor on the back on NXT. The Prince character has been a much needed upgrade to that gimmick in general. So you could call that like a modest success. I want that to be the new way. I want to hear less of Gargano and Ciampa specifically saying, oh, I want to be in NXT forever. I want them to go to Raw SmackDown and see how that, see what that looks like. And then I want NXT to be an option for, Christ, I'm plucking out of thin air, the Street Profits, to just be able to go back to NXT and do a year in that tag division if there's nothing particularly happening in the main roster. And so on and so on and so on. Long been an advocate for including them in the draft, but even if you aren't as forthright as saying they're in the Superstar Shakeup, three rosters, three sets of superstars, let's go. I just want, I want the freedom of movement for everybody, both ways, all the time. I need it to be on the table. I think it really helps NXT more than people are willing to admit. I think a bit of that roster could do with a bit of flavor sometimes. So it doesn't have to be the super workers era anymore. It could welcome a giant from the main roster. Similarly, some of those guys like would get a breath of fresh air working Raw or SmackDown, that they kind of feel like they're stifled on NXT. Finn Balor moving back to Raw or SmackDown would show that that there's a new way. And I very much welcome that.
If he was to stay in NXT, how would you utilize him? Would you know, build him as part of a tag team? Would you have him have some sort of blood feud? Would you have him elevate, you know, maybe the North American Championship? What do you reckon?
Tag team feels logical to me, more so than a singles run as North American champion, because it's too, you know, NXT, for all that the viewership has diminished, obviously, and the engagement doesn't seem terribly high, I would like to think that it remains the discerning WWE product. It's the best wrestling show that WWE are capable of producing consistently, I think. Primarily because we know there's one guy that's not in the room every week, let's be honest. Like, that's the key difference between NXT and everything else, is that Vince McMahon won't be there to scream his orders down onto, like, several other people that just have to say yes to them. And I just think making Finn Balor the North American champion is too transparent a sideways move. He doesn't get that belt any more over than it already is. He doesn't elevate the belt, but nor does he become elevated as a result of holding it. Tag team veteran would be where I would go. If you look at the model for Gargano and Ciampa, it's been to work with somebody that is relatively unproven in NXT, in Austin Theory and Timothy Thatcher, respectively. And they may have seen these runs as being beneath them, having been former NXT champions. But in reality, it's made for two overacts. The way have been a blast. Ciampa and Thatcher have been great. Ciampa and Thatcher saved two ailing careers. You know, like, both been success stories. Hoy Finn Balor in with somebody younger. Have them team. Bring back the Demon if you want, like, as a partner, as he was once for Hideo Itami, just to see what that looks like. Have a master and apprentice angle. Have the apprentice turn on the master. See if that elevates them, the apprentice, whomever you want to pick. Anyway, like, Cameron Grimes right now has just turned baby.
Literally
face.
What I was about to say, the stomp,
just turned baby
face. Aspect of their finishers works so well together.
You've got a cave in and a coup de grace happening in stereo. He lets Cameron Grimes wear some of his paint one week and it looks terrible. Like, but like, the end result is some sort of angle between the two of them that leaves Cameron Grimes a made man after the fact. I've picked on him, but there's loads of others. It's NXT. There'll be 15 in the performance center that we've never even seen on screen that would probably relish that kind of opportunity. Not him working singles matches. I don't need it. I don't want to see it. And I also don't want, and this is what I'm dreading about him staying on NXT, what is currently happening to Pete Dunne, where there's this idea that, like, well, he's kind of too good not to be on takeovers, but we don't want to put belts on him. So we have to, like, always find that second best guy for Pete Dunne. Mm. Oh, who's the Pete Dunne feud this month? That's Kyle O'Reilly. Why? Because he's not in a title match this month. Oh, great. Right, we've done him. Who's next? And then, sure enough, at some point, you'll get back to Pete Dunne, Finn Balor, probably. Like, who is the best of the second best? Find out this week's takeover. It's like, I don't care about those stakes. I don't want him to get lost in that loop if he must stick around.
For some reason, I could picture him with, like, Leon Ruff as a tag team as well. Mixing of those two would be really, really entertaining. And I mean, what a turnaround that would be for NXT's tag division that we were bemoaning 6 to 12 months ago, to suddenly have like Ciampa and Thatcher and the Grizzled Young Veterans and MSK. It's stacked. It would be absolutely preposterous if they had all those teams in there. And like you say, Gargano and Theory as well, we should mention too. I think that's the best route to go, rather than, because the North American Championship, you know, it's akin to saying, oh, well, he's not world champion, but he's intercontinental champion. It's like, it doesn't really work in NXT for me. And the demon, I don't know whether the demon character gels well with this prince character. What do you think?
So I've been keen to see them try it, because I agree on principle. But obviously we have no evidence yet to back that up. I'll say this for Finn Balor. I really like how he's tweaked this Prince character. He's actually tried to evolve it very subtly since returning to NXT. Like that first night back as a babyface was so cool, because it just felt like Finn Balor coming home. The heel turn on Johnny Gargano was very much like, no, this is a new Finn Balor. And that first promo, which we've since come to mock, because as it turned out, this business didn't watch him. But like, brilliant on the night, like absolutely amazing on the night. And I love the way he's tweaked that, because he realized he just couldn't stay heel. He became that character. You know, Finn Balor's late 30s now, maybe even 40. There's just too much inbuilt respect for him as a wrestler to hate. So the way he's tweaked this to become like, and I wish there was less of them, but he's the best. NXT's got about 3,000 intense baby faces, but like Finn Balor's the best one. And I think that's the difference. He's the best, like most well-rounded, intense, growling baby face. So he's the one for me that gets away with it. I would like to see the demon deployed the way it was always intended, because I don't think ever on the main roster they explored the point of it. The idea of the demon is, and I feel like we've talked about this before, is that he has to, it's not just paint, it's not just war paint. He has to unlock a side of him that he hates so much that it hurts him. It hurts him to be it. He becomes that because he feels like he needs it for the challenge ahead. And it's like his energy levels are lowered as a result of being the demon, but he finds something deeper within that Finn Balor doesn't have. That gels with the prince. Because I do not want a third Karrion Kross match, but the demon would want that third Karrion Kross match. I have to go to this extra place, you know? That would be used to the demon. The demon has lost once, and it was in a steel cage match to Samoa Joe, as Finn Balor said goodbye to NXT, effectively. He had to put himself through that just to try and beat Samoa Joe one last time, and he couldn't get it done. And what a thing for Samoa Joe that was as well. So I would like them to treat it with respect. I do not want Saudi Arabia versus Andrade in a United States title match. Demon, tongue out demon. I don't need a painted up bushwhacker. Like, I want them to care about the prestige. The people care about the demon. People really can care about the demon. You and I were at WrestleMania 35, and I'll tell you one thing we didn't care about was Bobby Lashley versus Finn Balor. But were we leaving before the entrances? Absolutely not. No. Like, no way you were going for a pint as Bobby Lashley was walking the aisle, because you knew who was coming next. And I just think, like, they know what they've got with that demon. And I think you can do it in small doses. You've just got to make people care about it. A prime target would set the stage for a demon. That would be all it would take. Just explain it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about him potentially going to Raw or SmackDown. He was recently on the Out of Character podcast with Ryan Satin, and he said, let me get this quote for you. I grew up as a wrestling fan watching WWE, and that's essentially where I want to be performing. I feel like in my last run there, I wasn't doing myself justice. I needed to change something, and the change came with NXT to kind of figure out who I was again. I've managed to do that to some level, and I'm definitely hopeful that a return to Raw or SmackDown will happen in the future. Now, I think it's fair to say right now, SmackDown has an embarrassment of riches. We've been talking recently, of course, about Edge returning, Sasha Banks returning, John Cena even making appearances. But where would you like to see Finn Balor? Is he the man who can maybe save Monday Night Raw?
I don't know if that show's beyond saving at this point. not that you'd hear that on the, what was it, Out of Character podcast with Ryan Satin. That feels like a contradiction in terms. But yeah, they'd probably pitch that as a way to like fix Monday Night Raw's ailing mid-card and indeed ailing main event scene. I believe Finn Balor wholeheartedly. I believe those words. He is a man with a lot of like diplomacy, and he, like, from what I remember, he wasn't one for like putting himself over too vociferously, and that will have absolutely hurt him first time around. And he walks with the swagger and confidence of a man that would do it differently second time around. I could just be buying into the gimmick, but I feel like he would stand up for himself a little bit more. He would feel confident enough to know when to say when about what they'd be asking of him. We would not have Kane for no reason pinning him clean and attacking him with a steel chair. We would not have Bray Wyatt tipping bolognese on him. You know, it just, this would be a Finn Balor that would at least try best as possible to maintain the integrity of the Prince. I'll do the obvious thing first, because we say it about every single person we ever do an individual podcast on. Wouldn't that match be great against Roman Reigns? Because of course it would. Roman Reigns is a guy that in your head gels mentally with anybody right now.
And the history would be Finn Balor of him.
Loads of history. Yeah. Raw is, of course, where he's needed, but Raw's where's everybody's needed. Raw's where friggin' Steve Austin and Bret Hart are needed, quite frankly. we're not gonna get them, and it's not going to make a difference. It looks... So he would be, like, SmackDown has just lost Daniel Bryan, and you talk about, like, slotting somebody in as a perfect replacement, that's Finn Balor, isn't it? Your workhorse, your company legend, your indie darling, your internet favourite, your earnest babyface who can be a believable heel. I mean, what Vince McMahon will see, even if he still doesn't see value in Finn Balor, is he'll see a like-for-like replacement with who he's just lost.
Talking more about Vince McMahon there, because that's, I've been toying with this in my head for quite some time of like, I think this Prince character, and I think he said as much himself in that Ryan Satin interview, that it's far more him than the smiling, I'm just happy to be here guy we first got on the main roster once he returned from that incredibly unfortunate injury at SummerSlam. On the one hand, I'm thinking like, Vince McMahon would much prefer this character, this cocky bastard. He's just like, I'll just smash your face in. But on the other hand, like, an elephant never forgets. And I'm worried that Vince will be like, Yeah, but remember when he got injured and he did that the jaw thing in NXT and missed a bit of time, and we're not too sure. I don't know. How do you think Vince McMahon would receive Finn Balor on the main roster? Because my concern is that he'd come back and we'd be all there going, great, have him challenge Bobby Lashley, or, you know, work with Drew McIntyre or whatever you want to do. And they'd be like, here he is, and he's going after Sheamus.
I love the bit of the podcast that we do sometimes where we have to try and second guess Vince McMahon when not even Triple H can third guess him. I want to touch on something you said there, because it's something I've never been able to let go for 5 years now, which is genuinely Finn Balor's cards were marked when he injured himself at SummerSlam 2016. And it's not fair. It's not fair. But something changed that day, because he beat Roman Reigns on television. He was booked to beat Seth Rollins and become the first Universal Champion and get whatever run he was going to get. And it's not fair that a guy got hurt doing a thing that's really easy to get hurt in doing. And something in Vince McMahon's head went, nope, on to the next one. Like, there are guys that have been hurt.
He came back and they just went, we were like, okay, great. Well, when's he getting the rematch? And they were like, yeah. Nah.
Never. He's going to be the one that doesn't ask for it. That's cool, right? Randy Orton spent the first 5 years of his career getting injured, for Christ's sake. Like, he was always getting knocked. He injured himself doing his own RKO taunt once. Like, it's never marked his cards,
oh,
has
yeah.
it? Like, he had shoulders made of glass till he was about 30. Like, never marked his cards. Finn Balor wasn't so lucky. I think Finn Balor's injury reflected a stereotypical idea that Vince McMahon harbours against a certain style. Too hard, too intense, don't do it. It comes from the same logic tree as don't cut yourself, we'll use Brock Lesnar's elbow.
Yes.
It's from that same tree of logic. But there is a positive. I do believe that Vince McMahon would look at Finn, would be given 5 seconds of tape, which is all he's got time for, of Finn Balor entering as a prince, to be like, okay, yeah, get it, got it. I'll book him. Totally, what's like, he's team? Harder than he was before. What's your thing? Are you hard now? Okay, great, we'll do that. What do we think, Vince? 3-minute Raw match. I want to see how hard his shotgun dropkick is. And is he really laying that coup de grace in? If he does and it all goes well, we are good to go. Big push. Who should put him against? I don't know. Anyone. Didn't care. Anybody. Jinder. What's he doing? Fine, yeah. Jinder, cool. Right, so Jinder and Finn goes on the board. Both men waiting in Gorilla. And then Vince remembers that Finn Balor is a foot shorter than Jinder, and Jinder's got those massive traps. And he's like, yeah, change the finish. Change the finish. Tear it up. Change the finish.
You know, my concern
Jinder.
Is
Jinder, Kalas.
They go, what's your thing? And he goes, oh, I'm a hard bastard. I'm the prince. And they go, prince? We've got a king. Hang on, wait a second, guys.
I thought you were going to say, Prince, we just sacked one of them. You can be the new one. Where's your purple trunks? I like that. What's your thing?
Meow.
Get out there. You got 9 lives, brother.
Hey, you may think that you're a big dog, but Roman Reigns.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's it. I thought cards marked with an injury, but big dog versus little cat. We cracked it, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. In conclusion, I want Finn Balor to stay on NXT and challenge for the title forever. Podcast.
I'm always eternally hopeful, except for the morning after every Monday Night Raw, that something's going to come along and you're going to go, oh, it's good now. It's changed, and it's not going to be, you know, overnight changing into something decent, but you just need that catalyst for something. I feel like Finn Balor, like you say, could be that person of just like fans are like, oh, thank you. God's sake, like, you see flashes of it. You see, you know, Riddle and Orton on Raw doing some great stuff. You got Drew trying his damnedest despite the booking, and Bobby Lashley. And imagine having Finn Balor come in and... Not first night, you have him bloody interrupt sodding Elias for all I care on the first night. And then he can beat up Jackson Ryker the next week, and then he can beat both. Imagine having him go over Braun Strowman early, and you're like, oh, they believe in him.
I love it. Like, I love that. I love any time that they are... Like, and we say this as well, you can listen to countless podcasts in our archives. It doesn't always even matter who the talent is. We just want to see committed booking. A bit less 50-50, a bit more determination to get somebody over, even if... Because what happens sometimes, amazingly, is that even if you don't like the worker to begin with, the they push them and they book them so well that you start to, shock of all shocks, you actually appreciate the commitment behind somebody. They work up to their push. Doesn't always happen. I'm going to vocal gender again. But they work up to the push and you're like, you know what? I'm glad this has happened. Mm. I'm really pleased this has gone this way. Wilborn, I love it when you just feel like there's a wrestler coming along on a mission. But I feel like in WWE, to evoke the words of a famous rapper, someone just comes along on a mission and yells, bitch! And that's everybody. And that'll be Finn Balor like all the rest.
Saw an old clip from Money in the Bank doing the rounds on social media the other day, and probably was the one, now I remember it, that Brock just showed up. And we're like, oh, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Ricky? Oh,
when Michael Cole was telling Finn Balor off for all the bumps he was taking.
Yeah.
What are you doing, you stupid idiot?
But he could be a hell of a like last minute introduction to Money in the Bank, couldn't it? That'd be a rocket if he returned to the roster and immediately won that briefcase, even though you immediately start losing after you've got the briefcase, but still.
Yeah. This Money in the Bank, I don't know if this is just headcanon on our part, really, but like with the return of John Cena just before it, with the potential shift in roster changes, even like without the likes of Finn Balor, the rumour a couple of days ago was that we could expect a few NXT call-ups for the first time in a while. They were going to do an old school sort of right up you come, maybe batch of four or something. Nothing's materialised as of this recording, but that's not to say it won't happen soon. The roster needs... We're just about, hopefully, touch every bit of wood in your house, to come out of the back end of a pandemic. Like, everything needs to shake up, all of it. Like, live crowds are going to be such a gift for a week. Like, and then Raw's going to be Raw, and SmackDown's going to be SmackDown. Everything is in need of a bit of a shake up. Everything at this point could be turned upside down and not a single person would complain about it. So Money in the Bank, as a not just a precursor to SummerSlam, as a big pay-per-view of the summer, but as a pretty big pay-per-view in its own right, could be this destination event if WWE want to make it so.
It's exciting. It's really exciting as we head towards July. One other thing we have to discuss with Finn Balor's future, all the noises he's making, is he's very happy where he is right now, of course, and whether he stays on NXT or goes to Raw or SmackDown or whatever. He's just excited for the future. And I don't think anyone sat there, if he stayed on NXT, going, oh, bloody fed up of him here. They just need to do something different, like we've booked with him in tag teams. But what are the chances of him leaving WWE, whether that to be to AEW or returning to New Japan?
The chances of him leaving are seem small,
yeah,
but are slightly greater than they would have been 2 years ago. And let's just keep saying it until everybody understands it. That's why it's great AEW exists, because this is a nice conversation to have at the end of most of these podcasts, isn't it? This idea that there is not just, like you mentioned New Japan, obviously, but it could be any wrestler's prior place of employment, Impact. Like New Japan are having a bad time of it at the moment, but you expect them to come through of it eventually. Impact, for the longest time, has just existed on the peripheries, but wrestlers that have had a nice time working there once before have enjoyed going back. So previously, you would have just had this place that wrestler used to work. Might they go back there to see out the last days of the career or get a nice contract and some interesting storylines with some young talent or whatever? AEW is neither of those things. AEW is a North American mainstream alternative with a bunch of opportunities to work with people brand new, slash people you worked with once before that now feel brand new. I found myself the other day, I can't remember why, I was thinking about a Miro John Moxley match, and at no point did it enter my head the amount of times I've probably seen Rusev versus Dean Ambrose. So like, it's, again, like, this is not some sort of AEW rah-rah speech or anything. It's just, yes, he could, because they've got loads of money and wrestlers, as the independent contractors they are forced to be, finally have more of a fertile marketplace with which to ply their trade. So, yes. And if not, he should let WWE think that and get paid a ton more for being there. More power to him.
Absolutely. Exciting times ahead, despite the fact he's, you know, just lost the world title. Very intriguing to see what happens next with Finn Balor. Let us know your thoughts on where he should end up and what he should do on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. And make sure you join Adam Nicholas and Ben Roy Turner tonight for our live stream of AEW Double or Nothing. Maybe Balor will show up as the Joker. Who knows? Right. This has been Get the Table. My thanks to Michael Hampert. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.